Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and good morning, 901. It is the first Saturday of the new year, and we are live in the studio. Dr. Jerry Mixon here, and Lynette just ran out of air. Woo! Okay. We're here with Leading Edge Medicine every single week because it's sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics, which you started, Dr. Mixon, 26 years ago. Is that right? 1998.
Yeah, started the first longevity clinic in 1998, and you know, in those days, we knew that hormone manipulation could have a big impact on how you aged. We didn't know. There were theories about what was causing aging. There were people who thought that it was oxidative stress or free radicals in our system. The Hayflick limit had been brought up about telomere length. There were a lot of theories, but the only one we really knew extended lifespan was hormone manipulation and exercise and weight loss, those three. And those three are still around. We still do all of those, but we now have 11 different factors that are impacting how you age and how long you live. And so now, instead of looking at three things, you know, your hormones, your weight, and your activity, we're now looking at 11 different things and intervening with all, as many of those as we can with any given patients. So we're looking at your telomere length. We're looking at your genetics. You know, we're looking at your hormone status. That's certainly true. But we're also looking at your weight. We're looking at your fitness. We're now measuring your fat and muscle mass in your extremities. And so instead of just getting a ballpark, we're getting much better measurements. But we're looking at your mitochondrial function. So we've got a whole lot of stuff that we're able to do now that we couldn't do back in the 90s when I first started the clinic. We used to say that my generation might be the last generation to die of old age. Certainly, there is a good chance that the kids today, the teenagers, the early 20s, if the government doesn't get in the way too much and the research is able to bound along as it does, those kids of today might easily have an active, vigorous lifespan of 120, 130 years.
Wow.
Instead of getting debilitated in their 70s and then dying in their 80s to early 90s. Because that's where we should be now. And then those kids, you know, may well be approaching healthy, vigorous lives of 200 or so. But only if we can fix our obesity epidemic, and only if we can fix our sedentary lifestyle. There's not going to be medicines and pills that are going to take us to those lifespans. It's going to take a vigorous, lean, healthy population. And unless we're willing to get there and make those changes, The rest of it's going to be a waste of time.
Wow.
You know, I had one patient, a physician, who was at least 100, 150 pounds overweight, diabetic.
And he was a doctor.
MD.
Wow.
And he was with us for years and years and years and years. And every year he wrote us a check, and every year we wrote his prescriptions. But he did nothing we asked him to do.
Mm.
Nothing. And, you know, when I would talk to him about it, I'd say, this is crazy. Writing me a check doesn't solve your problems. You have to lose that 150 pounds. We have to get you moving. And his answer was always, but Jerry, I don't diet and I don't exercise. And I said, that's why you're going to live a miserable life and die young.
Mm.
You know? You have to be willing to put some of your own effort into it. Longevity cannot do it to you. We can't do it for you. We can do it with you. Okay. And let me give you some really simple things we can do for you.
Okay.
And with you. If you are in one of those obvious Americans now who are overweight and either pre-diabetic or a type 2 diabetic, okay, you have a 30% chance of dying of cardiovascular disease in any given 6-year period.
Wow.
Okay. So if you're over 50 or 60, in any 6-year period, about 1 chance in 3, you're going to die of cardiovascular disease.
Mm.
If we put you on a statin, we can reduce that slightly.
Okay.
Instead of a 30% chance, it'll be about a 27% chance.
Okay.
You take a statin.
That is a slight, yeah. Wow.
But it's statistically significant.
Okay.
If we put you on testosterone, we're going to reduce that risk of dying of cardiovascular disease from 30% down to about 24%.
Ooh, even better.
Twice as good as a statin.
Yes.
If we put you on the two together, they are more than additive. If we put you on a PDE phosphodiesterase, so a PDE inhibitor, we can reduce that from 30% down to about 20%.
Even better.
Even better. If we put you on all three, we can reduce that from 30% to 2%.
Wow.
2%. So
what if you make some lifestyle changes and get out there and move and exercise?
That was a study looking at your chances of dying of cardiovascular disease over a 6-year period just with making these medication changes.
Just the medication.
So a statin, a little bit of help. Testosterone, twice as good as a statin. PDE5 inhibitor, twice as good as the testosterone. The three together, a super additive effect from 30 to 2%.
Wow.
That's mind-boggling.
Yes.
Why every single doctor out there doesn't have every one of their diabetics on all three of these? We're the only doctors I know that are doing it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the studies are in the literature. Any doctor can read the study. But again, we are leading-edge medicine. We see the studies. We put it into play in our patients.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we don't wait for the insurance company and the Medicare people to get around to saying, okay, we'll pay for this.
Yeah.
No, our answer is, hey, you need this.
Do it now.
Do it, because if they won't pay for it, why are you willing to die because they're not willing to pay?
Mm.
Okay, my life is worth paying for it.
Yes. Okay. And making change now, not in potentially whenever they decide to do it.
Whenever they decide to get around to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, leading edge medicine, longevity, and this is why you started back in 1998. And we're still offering that free health analysis, right, Dr. Mixon?
Yes, we are.
Going into the new year, if you're listening going, okay, all right, I've been listening. I know I need to get in and find out what's going on with my body so that I can continue to live my best years ahead, right?
You know, and I just gave one with diabetics. Let me give one for women, because you guys have the larger breasts that are at risk of dying of breast cancer.
Ah, okay? Yes.
Women that have taken no hormones in their life, okay, hormone naive, menopausal women with no hormone use ever get 300 breast cancers per 100,000 woman years.
Wow.
So if you got 100,000 women for 1 year, 300 of them out of that 100,000 will get breast cancer.
Okay.
If we put those women on testosterone and estrogen, we reduce that from 300 to 116.
Huge change. Big change.
You drop the risk of breast cancer by two-thirds.
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 Okay.
Why isn't every woman out there on testosterone and estrogen early in their life? Okay. I'm not going to wait for my wife to get her breast cancer and try to cure it.
Right.
I'm reducing her risk of getting breast cancer by at least two-thirds. And the reason I said at least two-thirds is we get that two-thirds reduction if we start them on testosterone and estrogen at menopause.
Mm.
Okay. We started my wife on it long before menopause because we never let the cancers occur. Because here's the thing. Your incidence of breast cancer discovery starts going up around menopause.
Okay.
But the average woman has had the cancer 3 to 5 years before we discover it, which means those cancers actually started.
They've been growing.
5 years before menopause.
Wow.
So
it's not like you just got cancer.
No. We just discovered you had cancer. Mm. Okay. You had it on average 5 years before we discovered it. So if women are starting to get a big rise in their late 40s to 50-ish, that means those cancers started at 40 to 45. And if we're going to stop them, we ought to be putting you on your interventions 5 or 10 years before that.
Wow.
Which is why my wife went on her interventions at 30, okay, and she's now 48. Well, turns 48 this year, this month.
Okay.
So, yeah, but she's been on it since she was 30 years old because I said, I don't want to wait until she has a cancer and try to cure it. I don't want the woman I love to get a breast cancer.
No.
So we Very intervene good. Early. That's the way we approach the aging process at Longevity Medical Clinic. We look at the statistics. We look at the physiology. And we don't wait. We say, hey, let's make her better now.
Yes. Make that call for that free health analysis. Get in and get her done. 866-86-YOUNG is the number to call. You can do that right now. You can even go to our website at lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. They're going to do two tests for you. Get some health history and then find out what life has done to you so far, like Dr. Mixon will say. We'll do a blood test and an in-body test. You'll then meet with a doctor to see, you know, what your risks are for all of these things that could be in your future. And you can make some decisions. Should I get another blood test? Should I become a patient at Longevity? We hope you do. We have three clinics, one in Kirkland, one in Tacoma, and one in Linwood. So get on in here. Make that appointment. It's a free health analysis. It's the best way to start your new year. Here's that number again, 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. We're going to take a quick break, and then we are back to see and talk with Kevin and Jeff about these very things, hormones and statins. In just a moment, you stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. Longevity Medical Clinics in Linwood, Tacoma, and our beautiful new facility in Kirkland. We hope to see you here. All right, let's go to the phones. Dr. Mixon, Kevin from Bothell is on the line. Good morning. Happy New Year, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi there. Same to you. By the way, how am I supposed to be able to afford to live to 120? Do I have to keep working until I'm 100?
Yes. I'm working at 76.
What if I don't want to?
Don't.
Social Security, obviously.
There you go. You'll be doing something else you'll love until 120.
I mean, look, I think men need to change careers about every 20 years.
Hmm.
You do what you do. You get really good at it. You know, you do it regularly, and then you've got it mastered, and now it becomes routine, and it's time to take a new challenge.
There you go.
And you make another shift.
I like more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, listen,
I was going to say the best advice I was ever given, which I took to heart decades ago, and I'm still doing it. He said, "Find something you really love to do, and call it work."
Mm-hmm. That's what my daddy told me a long time. Mm-hmm. Find something you love to do and get paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he just said we call it work.
Figure it out.
And,
yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm doing. And yeah, it's kind of bizarre because
I love to hike, but I don't know if I'm going to get paid for it.
No. Although, yes,
yeah, you could hiking with Kevin.
If you've had a lucrative phase in your career, you may want to be a park ranger. You may want to hike the mountains for a living.
In all seriousness, I would like to slow down and become a fitness trainer for people my age, which is 64.
There you go. That is what my nephew's doing right now.
Well, you know,
hanging to retire doing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, your income will probably drop, but you know that's okay.
Understood. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm
going to work every day.
I
love it. Sure, go ahead.
Sorry, I keep interrupting you there.
No, and I'm interrupting you. We can't see each other. We don't get the body language cues, you know. So, go ahead.
So, I am a patient of Dr. Irina's. I do have one question, which she didn't totally explain, in my opinion. Someone, kind of a highly regarded, in my opinion, you know, health podcaster that is kind of on the same page as you with most things. I can name him or not, but
it's okay.
I thought said something to the effect that one of the downsides of testosterone replacement is that over long term it would impair your body's ability to do that on its own should you stop the therapy. What's your feedback on that?
Yes, that's true with anything that we give you that has a feedback loop. For instance, if your thyroid is not making enough thyroid hormone, and we give you enough thyroid hormone to bring your levels up, your own body's going to not make as much. And so it has to come into a new equilibrium. But the reason we gave it to you is because you weren't making enough to start with. Okay? Same thing with testosterone. Your testicles are not producing as much testosterone as we would like them to be. So we give you some extra. The feedback loop now says, oh, yep, I've got some. I'll produce a little less. So then we have to raise your dose. That's why the first few months, there's a titration in which we have to raise and lower and raise and lower till we get you stable right where we want you to be. If we stop
Let me rephrase that, I guess. If I were to quit tomorrow, I mean, it wouldn't be immediate, obviously, but would it? The question is, would it return to the levels it was at, or would it return to an even worse level? I guess that's what I'm asking.
It would take longer time to return. What happens is your follicle-stimulating hormone in your brain is stimulating your testicles to grow and make testosterone, and luteinizing hormone and follicle-stimulating hormone. And when you have enough testosterone, those both damp down. You don't make as much FSH or LSH. And so your testicles stop working as much. That's why we only have you use your testosterone in the daytime and you wash it off at night. So we give your own testicles 10 or 12 hours a day to work as much as they will so that we don't totally shut you down.
I haven't been washing it off at night. I'm not sure I was even told that. If I was, I forgot.
Oh,
that should be a daily thing.
Yeah, it should be daily. Yeah, you should not wear it 24 hours a day. No. You put it on in the morning.
That had to do with if you were intimate with a woman or something.
No, unfortunately,
I'm not.
No, what we don't want to have happen is have your levels stay high all the time, because then your own testicles stop working. And they start to atrophy. They get quite small. Okay. And so many men find that over every few years, we need to stop and give them, we don't stop the testosterone. We just add some HCG, a little injection two or three times a week to make them grow big again. Okay. But if you don't let the testicles work, then they kind of shrivel up and go away. And that's my objection to the shots. That's my objection to the pellets. That's the advantage of the cream. You can put it on in the morning, wash it off in your evening shower, and that way your own testicles get to keep working as much as they're competent to work.
Now, Dr. Mixon, what about women using testosterone cream, like behind their knees?
Same sort of thing.
Same sort of thing.
Sure,
okay.
Yeah. We're assuming you're going to wash it off each day.
Okay.
You know, and
well,
so.
Apparently, I missed something important.
Yes.
I'm glad
yes.
I called.
I'm glad you called too. Yeah, no, I've discussed this on the air many times. you know, the real advantage of the creams is we do not shut down your testosterone production completely. You know, the shots shut it down completely. The pellets mm-hmm. shut it down completely. We're the only way of giving it to you that will let you keep making some of your own. So, and of course,
okay, well,
in younger guys or in guys even of your age who say, you know what, I'm dating a younger woman and I may want to have another baby, then instead of giving you the cream, we give you the HCG injections to increase your own production of testosterone to maintain your fertility.
Fertility I don't need, but
yeah.
But I got the point, yeah. So, all right, I will start doing that then.
Okay, sounds good.
And appreciate the help.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
Oh, thanks Bye-bye. For the call, Kevin. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio, and you can reach him just like Kevin, just like Hilmer. Here is the number to call, 800-465-8770 with your question. Let's go to Jeff now with a question for Dr. Mixon. Hi there, Jeff. Good morning.
Hello, Jeff.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you both.
Thank
you. I'm a loyal listener. I kind of enjoyed my follow-up on the statins. I was prescribed to take a statin because I was diagnosed as diabetic 2. And then within a year, I lowered my blood sugar from 7.5 to 6. And I'm on, you know, basically just gave up the alcohol, and that seemed to be the deal.
Uh-huh.
Looking on the internet or on Google or YouTube, I see so many things that are bad about statin and the efficacy of it, you know, that it's a overprescribed drug that has little effect. The side effects to me, you know, I've seen other ones, they say, oh, muscle fatigue. Well, I've seen where it talks about muscle destruction, cognitive issues, mm-hmm. Depletion of your K2
Co-Q-10.
And magnesium, all this and stuff. Just what is your opinion? I was diagnosed or prescribed Provastin in an 80 milligram tablet.
Okay.
Once a day.
All right. Most people don't have significant side effects from their statin. They don't notice much. And those people can take it if they want to take it. It is one way of lowering your cholesterol. Okay. It's not my favorite way. Mm. Because one third of the cholesterol in your bloodstream is from your diet. Two thirds is recycled. Cholesterol is not a decoration. It's the mother hormone. You have to have cholesterol to live. It's critical for life. Every cell in your body is metabolizing cholesterol. And when you take a statin, you're interfering with cholesterol metabolism. And so if you lower cholesterol metabolism too much in the neurons in your brain, then you start getting memory problems and mood swings and fuzzy thinking because the brain is not working well. Mm. If you lower the cholesterol metabolism too much in your muscles, you start getting muscle pain or weakness and fatigue, balance problems. Mm. And so about 30% of people get significant side effects from a statin. 70% don't. So if you're one of those 70% that don't notice anything, you know, good for you. If you're one of that 30% that do notice stuff, well, then we might want to look at a different method. In our clinic, we use statins occasionally for like 5% of our people. And the reason is, think of it this way. Cholesterol is the mother hormone. Every steroid hormone in your body is made out of cholesterol. Testosterone, estradiol, progesterone, pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, cortisols, all of these things are made out of cholesterol. And so as you age, your end organs are starting to fail. Your testicles are getting old. They're not making testosterone very well. And if you don't have enough testosterone as a man, you're not making enough estrogens because the estrogens are made out of testosterone. Your adrenal glands are trying to make dehydroepiandrosterone and pregnenolone, but they can't make enough anymore because they're just getting old and tired. So what your body does is says, hey, all of my hormone levels are falling. I'm not doing very well. I need those hormones, so I'm going to ramp up my cholesterol to provide more substrate so that I can make more of the downstream hormones. And so as we age and our other hormones are declining, we start ramping up cholesterol production. Well, the problem with that is those end organs can't use the cholesterol because they're old and failing. So the cholesterol just builds up and builds up and builds up. Okay. If we give you the other hormones, if you have enough pregnenolone, progesterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, testosterone, estradiol, thyroid, cortisol, if you've got all of those downstream hormones, your body says, oh, everything's just fine. I don't need more cholesterol.
Ah.
And now all of a sudden, controlling your cholesterol becomes a very easy thing to do. So now just simple dietary and exercise interventions are enough to get your cholesterol under very nice control.
Does... Are you going to do one of your TV shows about this issue?
Yeah, we should get you to do a video on this particular
topic. I should do a video
for the website. That would be great.
Yeah.
Well, what I kind of got from listening to all these guys on YouTube, and you take what you get what you pay for on YouTube. But is that cholesterol, if, like you said, is not necessarily bad, and a lot of it is just basically your heredity.
It can be, yes. There are people that have hereditary, genetically coded hyperlipidemia. And, you know, those people have a lot of cholesterol in their system all the time. It's not because of their diet. It's not because of their exercise. It's just the way the good Lord made them. But even there, it's not the cholesterol that causes the heart attack, okay? It's not the cholesterol that causes the thrombotic stroke. What happens is there are multiple forms of cholesterol. You know, we 50 years ago divided cholesterol into HDL and LDL. And we said, well, the LDL is the bad stuff because people with a lot of LDL start having more heart attacks and strokes. And it's true. People with elevated levels of LDL cholesterol have 2/3 of the strokes.
Mm, okay.
But people with perfectly normal cholesterol have the other third.
Ah, okay.
So normal cholesterol doesn't necessarily protect you.
So what you're saying is that you agree that statins are overprescribed then?
Yes, I do. I think there are better ways to control the problem and to lower the risk of heart attacks and strokes.
So yeah. You recommend, like, getting some berberine? And...
No, I recommend get your pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. Okay. Get all of your end organ hormones where they belong so your body isn't trying to drive the reaction by producing more and more cholesterol.
Ah.
Okay. I appreciate it.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Jeff. And that's where longevity comes in. Yes.
That's exactly where longevity comes in.
Yeah, you have more in your body than just estrogen for women and testosterone for men. We're learning there are so many different hormones.
The typical person in our clinic is on 6 different hormones.
Wow. Yes. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we're back. We're going to talk to Dean about vitamin D12 in just a moment. Stay right there. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon, now's the time to call. Phone lines are open for you at 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up
good vibrations. Leading Edge Medicine here. Hi there. Good morning. I'm Lynette. We are live in the studio with Dr. Jerry Mixon as Dr. UMAT is getting ready to fly to Houston to see her Cougs. Or not her Cougs. Oh, boy. Ooh. She would not like that. Her Huskies. Her Huskies play. Yeah. Yes. You
know, okay, Samara, if you're listening to the show today.
Yes, sorry about that. Please don't fire me.
I want to remind you that I really like the henna you put on your hands when you have your religious festivals at
the
Hindu temples.
Beautiful.
But I don't want you to come home with tattoos on your hands to make them look like paws for the Huskies.
Oh. Okay? Or husky dog faces on her.
Husky
we'll have to check her next week.
Faces on your palms. This is not allowed.
Oh, you may have just given her an idea. Mm. So go dogs.
If she were 14, that would give her an idea.
But yes, no, it would.
She's a grown-up.
Yeah, she won't do that. Maybe across your forehead at the game. Maybe. No. All right. It is 9:35. We have another phone call. We're headed to Burien. Dean, good morning. How can we help you today?
Good morning. I hope you can. I just had some more lab work done yesterday at my Kaiser clinic. Uh-huh. And I found in August that I was low on vitamin B12. I was at 218 on their scale, which is low.
Yes, it is.
Yesterday, I've been on religiously B12 since August, and I find now that it's still low. It's at 260.
Wow. That's
interesting.
So what's
going on, doctor?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, what else are you taking?
I'm taking quercetin, D3, my TSH was low, and that's now in the normal range.
Okay.
So I was taking 0.025 milligrams a day on that.
Are you taking something though, like a statin, or are you taking metformin?
No, I'm not. Oh, the other thing is my A1C dropped. I'm on berberine.
Okay.
And it went to 5.7, down from 5.9.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost below the pre-diabetic range. You know, we need to get you down to 5.6 and less. And, of course, the goal in the clinic is 5.2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, optimal. Yeah, that's great.
What level should he be at for his...
Well, ideally 5.2 and
Sorry, for his B12 levels, where do you like us to be
B12
at?
B12 is fascinating. People that are below 800, people in the bottom third have twice as much dementia as people in the top third.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So 260 is quite low.
Very low.
Very low. Okay.
Yeah, I like to keep my people 800 and above.
Okay.
So...
Is it a matter of dosage, perhaps?
It can be that simple, yeah, or absorption. You know, for instance, if you don't have enough stomach acid, you may not be absorbing B vitamins as well.
Hmm.
Now, he told me to take methylated.
Right, yes, the methylated is more effective because some people don't methylate it effectively. Other thing is, if you're on something to turn off your stomach acid, if you've had ulcerative disease or GI reflux and they've put you on something to shut down that stomach, okay.
Nothing like that.
Those things prevent you from
absorbing. I was on Omeprazole for a while. Yeah.
Well, Omeprazole is one of those things we don't want you, you know.
I'm not on that anymore. I'm not on that anymore. It's been a year or two since I've had it.
Okay. Yeah, it may just be a simple dose, but you know, everybody absorbs things differently at different rates. And you just may be a very poor absorber or a fast metabolizer. I double up your dose.
Okay. Okay. I don't want dementia.
No, nobody does. No, well, that's true. If they do, I question their cognition. Yes.
Yeah,
the problem with those sort of studies is that is a correlation, not necessarily a causation. You know, we know that you need the B vitamins for good nerve function. And we know that people in the bottom third of B vitamin levels have twice as much dementia as people in the top third. Mm. That doesn't tell us necessarily that it was the low B level that caused the dementia. but it correlates, and it passes the laugh test, because we know that the B vitamins are critical for neurologic function, for nerve function. So,
okay.
It's possible. The reason I bring up that question, though, is my favorite difference in correlation and causation. Causation is when something is low and it causes the problem. Correlation just means the two have a common bond of some sort. And the one I have used to describe this in years is the fact that there is in California a clear relationship between ice cream consumption and shark bites.
Wow.
The more ice cream that is consumed in California in any given year, the more shark bites will be reported. Now, these two are clearly correlated. It's been a study that's been shown over and over for years and years. But does ice cream really cause sharks to bite you? Well, no, it turns out that they do have a common bond, though. In hot weather, people eat more ice cream. In hot weather, people go in the ocean more.
Yes.
They can get bit by sharks. So it's not the ice cream that caused the shark bite, though they are correlated. There's not causation. Mm-hmm. The causation is the hot weather that causes both of them. All right.
But you could see the ice cream companies getting on that somehow.
Yes.
Well, of course they would not.
They wouldn't want that.
Real quick, I was trying to finish your little parable about work, and I was trying to give you the how I heard it. It says,
Yes.
Find a job you like, and you'll never work another day in your life.
I've heard
that's
that one
true
too.
Too.
That's true.
Yes. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. I was just going, oh man, I want to hear it. So anyway,
yes,
thanks a lot
it's true.
All that. I'm gonna double up on my B12.
Yeah, double up on it and see if it'll come up.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a break in just a few minutes more. Dr. Mixon, you mentioned the omeprazole, we don't want to be taking that.
We don't want to take anything to turn off our stomach acid.
Because you need the stomach acid.
You need the stomach acid. Without stomach acid, you don't absorb B vitamins. You don't absorb iron. You don't absorb magnesium. You don't absorb calcium. You don't absorb, all of the positively charged ions require stomach acid to be absorbed positively.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing, too, for that last caller that just occurred to me, too, you're measuring your B12, but your other B vitamins may also be low.
Mm.
And so I would ask your doctor to check more than B12. You know, he should check, for instance, your folic acid. So he should check your B12, your folate, maybe your B2, B3, because if one B vitamin is low, the others may be. And so unless you've got an isolated B12 deficiency, I would go with a B multivitamin, a B vitamin that had all of the Bs in it. So B1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, etc., all the way up to the 12.
So
that you're getting all of the B vitamins, not just the one.
All right. Good to know. We will be taking a break and we'll be back. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon, give us a call right now. Phone lines are open for you at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And we will be right back. Stay right there. Few minutes left of our show today on Leading Edge Medicine. 1-800-465-8770 is that number to call. And Dr. Mixon, I had asked you the question, why not? You don't want us to take to something to suppress
stomach
acid for long periods of time. And
it's because all of the positively charged ions are required or require acid to be absorbed. So if you don't have enough stomach acid, you don't absorb calcium, magnesium, potassium.
So this is one of those things you have to weigh. And it's like, I'd much rather have things being absorbed than.
Yes. And all of the B vitamins and iron, they're all necessary. They all require, stomach acid to get there. You know, back to the fellow with the low B12 just for fun for a minute.
Okay.
One of the, well, my old rule, the proper dose of anything is enough. You know, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. Too much B vitamins. B12, I've never seen anybody suffer a medical problem.
Okay.
But B2 can cause paresthesias in your hands and feet.
Uh-oh, what are those?
It's called, well, so stocking glove paresthesia, where the people say my hands and my feet are going numb.
Ah.
The first thing I do is send them to get a B2 vitamin check because B2 can be toxic at high levels, and it usually shows up in neurologic symptoms. And the classic one is the stocking glove distribution of paresthesias.
Okay.
So anytime people come in and tell me that their feet are getting numb, first thing I do is a B2 check.
Ah, to see what's going on there. Right. All right. Okay, few minutes left of the show. Dr. Mixon, pick a topic. What would you like? We have talked about rapamycin today. We have talked about weight loss, Ozempic, hormones today,
yes,
diabetes, hormones. And is there something else that you would like to touch on? Maybe something that we're doing here at the clinic or continuing to do and having some great success with.
Well, let's talk a little bit about cognitive decline.
Okay.
And there are some interesting things. For instance, we know that women especially decrease cognition as they approach 50.
Mm.
And the older they get, the more problems they tend to have. And part of that is hormone loss.
Okay.
Because the estrogens are necessary for verbal abilities, for word choices and stuff. So if women don't have enough estrogen in their system, they tend to start losing their verbal facility.
Okay, like when they say, I'm losing my words or I'm having a senior moment.
One of the early things we want to check is, yes, what is their estrogen?
Ah.
Level? Testosterone, on the other hand, provides drive, ambition, self-confidence, and spatial orientation, so you don't get lost as easy.
Okay.
So, you know, the hormones can have a real impact on your brain function. They are neurotransmitters for a large number of our functions.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Just thought I'd throw that in.
I'm glad you did. Okay, we're going to take another phone call here. Lou calling in from Linden. Okay. Hey, Lou, good morning. You're calling
Hello,
in.
Lou.
And welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. I had a recently really bad sinusitis, and I just got off amoxicillin.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I called was because when I go shopping in Bellingham here, I often see Chinese people look like Chinese college exchange students, and they often are wearing masks.
Yes.
And very few Americans are wearing masks, but I see the Chinese people often wear masks.
Yes.
So I'm concerned that maybe some of these students are bringing new variants of viruses, COVID-related, from China. And I wonder what the doctor thinks about that and whether we should be screening people more carefully who come over from China.
I think we should be screening everybody who comes in the country, including the 2 million a year that wander across the southern border.
That's right.
But they don't get screened. They just get shipped off to the rest of us. Which is why we're seeing an increase in tuberculosis and other contagious diseases, because they're bringing it into the country. If you come in legally, you get screened for those things.
That's right. They don't let you in the country unless you've had it.
If the drug cartels bring you in, you don't get screened.
Yeah, no big deal. Yeah.
But no, what you're seeing is a cultural phenomenon.
Okay.
I have hung around Asia since the 1960s. And I was first a little off put. First time I went to Singapore, for instance, and saw, you know, a dozen or so people wearing masks on the street, even back in the 1960s. And it turns out the most of the Asian cultures and many of those that are Chinese derivatives, the Singapore, the Indonesia, Taipei, etc., these folks are quite germ-phobic, but they're also very considerate. They are not individualists as a culture. They are trained from infancy to consider the group. Mm. And anyone who has a cold, who has any kind of sniffle or cough of any kind, puts on a mask. And everyone in their family will put on the mask. And you'll find it. Yeah. And so it's to keep spreading diseases to other people.
Okay.
And if you're worried that you might be getting sick, you put on a mask.
Yeah. If you're going to go out in public or travel.
Right.
I've seen that. Yeah.
And so all over Asia for decades, at least since the 1960s when I've been kicking around Asia, I have seen lots and lots of people with masks. Now, the COVID epidemic has accelerated and accentuated that, you know, because the government wants us terrified.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling us, oh, there's a new COVID variant sweeping across the country and it's doing this, that. Everybody get your mask. And they're getting us ready for the next election. Mm-hmm. So they can, you know, have more ballots than voters.
That's right.
But I don't get terribly concerned about it. I do notice that an awful lot of the people I see here in Kirkland, out on the Cross Kirkland corridor, if they're going to be wearing a mask, they're almost always an adolescent Asian.
Okay.
Whether they're Japanese, Korean, Chinese, but adolescent Asians seem to have really bought in to the pandemic fear-mongering of our fear-soaked leaders.
Yes, yes. So, that combined with the cultural aspect of as
you know,
well.
And then, you know, I see people driving in their car alone wearing a mask.
Or exercising, running or biking. I'm concerned about them.
Yeah, I was at the gym a few days ago. I saw somebody trying to play racquetball with a mask on. You know, and the poor girl was just exhausted. But there has always been a big cultural thing for masks. Go ahead.
Are you optimistic, Doctor, about the Chinese people being able to throw off the yoke of the CCP in the near future, or are they stuck with it?
Forever. I tell you what, we're not going to have time to go into that right now because we're almost out of time on this show. Mm-hmm. But you know how to find us for the next 2 hours. And if you don't, go to our website, lmclinic.com. And we talk about what stations we're on from 8 to 10 and then from 10 to 12. Okay.
I know where it gets.
You can find us. Yeah.
There you go. Because
I'm going to talk about my wife just got back from 3 weeks in China.
Yeah.
My wife and daughter, because that's her home. She's from Chengdu, China. And, let me tell you the dramatic changes I've seen in China over the last 20 years, and it's terrifying. I honestly believe that she is wrapping up China for war with the West.
Wow.
I fully expect him to go to war with the West. And he's prepping his people. When I first went to China my first time, I was the first Westerner that many of the people had ever seen. And not only were they friendly, I had whole families cross the street just to come and look at me.
Wow.
And they'd all come up and give me a thumbs up and a V for victory and say, okay. And that was the only English they knew.
Aww.
But and America was greatly admired. Everybody wanted to be an American. Mm. Now, the propaganda is all anti-American, anti-Western. It is tightening up to the point there are almost no Westerners on the street anymore.
Wow.
You can't use any Western currency. You cannot use Western credit cards in China. To buy anything, you have to have a Chinese bank and use Weibo on your phone to pay for anything.
Wow.
And cab drivers are all spouting anti-American propaganda. If they think that you're from the West, they'll tell you what a horrible place America is. And that's a dramatic, dramatic change. And it's because the party controls everything you see, everything you read, everything you hear. And you're well aware that your smart speakers and stuff in your house, you know, your Alexa and so on, is listening to everything you say. And your computer and your cell phone are listening to everything you say. Mm-hmm. Well, in the next show, I'm going to tell you how pervasive that is now in China, in which if you say things the party doesn't like in the privacy of your own living room, they will downgrade your social credit score, and you can't get a job, and you can't buy a ticket to travel, and your kids can't get into school.
Wow.
So Orwell's nightmare.
Yes, it is an Orwellian nightmare, but she has at his disposal a control mechanism that Orwell never dreamed of, because we all have cell phones, we all have speakers, we all have computers, and in China, everyone is tracked everywhere, every day, all day, every day of their life. Back during the pandemic, during their shutdown, if you went in a store and anyone else in that store had tested positive for COVID, your cell phone would then have an app that would flash red, and you were restricted to home. And you could not leave home. You'd have to stay home.
Or if you could leave home without your cell phone, I guess.
Yeah, but then you can't buy anything.
Yeah, because everything's on your phone. Because they're in China.
Because the only way to buy things is using your Weibo app, and all of your money is digitalized. And if the party doesn't like you, they can simply turn off your money today.
Wow. Scary. Hey, Lou, we got to go. We have one less than a minute left of the show. Thank you for the call, and feel free to join us on the next show. Yes.
Sure thing.
Thank you so much. Hey, this has been a wild, lots of good conversation and lots of information. A wild first show of the new year. We're glad to be here. And we'll be back live in the studio next week with Dr. Mixon and Dr. You, Matt.
Yep. We'll both be here next week.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. And don't forget, you can always call us and get in touch with us at Longevity by calling us at 866-86-YOUNG or by going to our website, which is lmclinic.com. That's also where you can sign up for the free health analysis appointment that we offer as well. So important. And going into this new year, we are offering that again. The number to call is 1-866-86-YOUNG. Young, or by going online to lmclinic.com. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.